Last January, the Supreme Court issued a 5-4 ruling in the case Citizens United versus Federal Election Commission, which struck down a number of campaign finance provisions and may lead to a drastic reshaping of the way our elections are paid for and how they play out. I say may because its implications are only starting to be understood in the context of this year's midterm elections. And joining us now to examine the impact of the ruling as we head into November is Sheila Krumholz, Executive Director of the Center for Responsive Politics. I'm very pleased that it brings her to our show for today's backstory. Hello.
Hello.
Can you give us a rough estimate of the amount of money that's been raised and spent in the 2010 midterm election so far?
Well, how much has been raised and spent as far as hard money going to the candidates and party committees? Or the outside interest, because there's always the question of what exact piece of this are you looking at? Let me start out by giving a broader overview of the money, which is to say, back in March, based on previous cycles' patterns, we set our prediction very early because we wanted a baseline out there, saying that we believe there will be at least $3.7 billion spent on these federal elections in this midterm election cycle. So that is really a kind of mind-boggling figure to begin with, and that doesn't take into consideration additional funds that might be unleashed because of the Citizens United and other rulings.
So how does the $3.7 billion compare to the presidential election, the last one?
Well, over $5 billion spent in the last presidential election cycle in 2008, and we've seen just disproportionate jumps, far beyond inflation. Politics is big business, and there are a lot of people who are clearly raking it in, political consultants and fundraisers among them. And, of course, President Obama was roundly criticized, even by the reform community, for not accepting the terms of presidential public financing. So he would have received partial public funding for the primary and full public funding for the general, but he, recognizing that he could raise money far beyond that, and especially from his campaign argued small donors giving online, leveraging technology to reach out and engage people, even those who could only give a small amount of money, was healthy for democracy. And so they, of course, raised $750 million, far in excess of that of John McCain.
And who knows how much they would have raised after the Citizens United ruling.
Right. Although both, to their credit, both Obama and McCain really early on rejected the outside interest groups from weighing in to push electioneering and through their money. So both of them had kind of put out the declaration that they were not seeking assistance from 527 and other outside interest groups, 501c3s and c4s, that were clearly intending to raise money, but on behalf of or against one or the other candidates.
Can you give us a brief synopsis of the Citizens United case, why the court ruled the way that it did, and how it changed who's allowed to donate to what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So this Supreme Court ruling in January of this year throws a huge monkey wrench into the 2010 elections. In essence, it was a 5-4 ruling in Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission, and the court overturned a ban on corporate and union funds in federal elections that had essentially been in effect since the early 1900s. So many people date this to an important decision in 1990 called the Austin decision. Others say, this precedent had been in place for decades, but many people really look to the Tillman Act back in 1907 as kind of the groundbreaking ruling that got corporate money out of elections. The ruling allows corporations, unions, other organizations, trade associations to spend unlimited sums from their own treasuries to fund political advertisements, advocating very directly the election or defeat of a specific federal candidate. So this is not about fundraising. Many people don't understand that they think this is about fundraising. It's about how about corporations and unions spending money independently. The money can only be used for independent expenditures, not direct contributions to the candidate's campaigns. And then whatever ads are produced can't be coordinated with the candidates either, although that's more difficult to police.
So in the past, we would see these ads that were issue ads, but they didn't name a candidate. Is that pretty much what we're going to be seeing more of as a result of this, or are they going to be able to name candidates?
Now they can name candidates, and they could name candidates before, but they had to disclose those donations to the Federal Election Commission, and they had to be coming from PACs, political action committees, which can raise limited sums of money from individuals. The money could not come directly from the corporate labor or trade association treasury. So now, of course, by virtue of the fact that these organizations have vast amounts of wealth that they could tap, we may see, and it remains to be seen, but we may see much larger sums of money being directed at independent expenditures, which are typically more likely to be negative attack ads coming at the last minute in the 11th hour of an election, intended to flip or sway the electorate at a time when the opponent cannot respond, can't muster the money or the time to effectively respond to the allegations in these negative ads. So get ready for more mudslinging, almost certainly, and potentially a lot more money going into the process. And I think already the wind is in the sails of these organizations who are buoyed by this decision and other decisions that have also come in the last year to give them more flexibility to raise money more easily. I think they can use that in their fundraising pitch. And of course, as we all know, this election is incredibly intense as far as the competition and the tantalizing opportunity here, particularly for the GOP to take back power in Washington.
Well, you mentioned other rulings. Are you referring especially to a less noticed one by the U.S. Court of Appeals in March, the case called SpeechNow.org versus the FEC?
Precisely. That is, I think, the second most important ruling of this year, and again, a groundbreaking ruling that says that organizations, if they are setting up only to raise money for the purpose of running independent expenditures, can raise unlimited sums of money. So it's essentially a PAC, which previously had to raise money from individuals in limited amounts, can now raise money in unlimited amounts and from corporations directly and unions and trade associations. So, again, it's maybe not as kind of a watershed event as the Citizens United ruling, but it just, again, allows these organizations to have that much more flexibility to raise this money. And And the biggest concern in all of this is for us, for an organization like ours, is disclosure, because we are, it's one thing to say, well, there's new flexibility to raise money from these sources, but it's another animal altogether to say that they can do so secretly.
Well, who makes the decision about political spending at most major corporations? The CEO, the shareholders, the board? Someone else?
In many cases, it is the owners. In the case of an organization like, for instance, one recently profiled in a high-profile article, the Koch brothers of Koch Industries, a very politically active organization run by a couple of brothers who themselves have been very politically active over time. And so now this just gives them the additional flexibility and resources not to write a personal check, but to write a corporate check to under to underwrite political organizations and their activities, and now their electioneering activities on behalf of or against a candidate.
That article, by the way, by Jane Mayer in The New Yorker, we talked to her the other day. It's available to our listeners online on our website at WMIC.org. Go ahead.
And I think that is a really useful lens through which to view this. Here is these are politically active individuals, but have huge resources available to them through the corporation, which previously they could not tap for election-related activities, and now they have access to that additional pool of money. And there will be money coming from corporations, big and small. I think it's more likely to be these kind of proprietorships or small corporations. I don't think, you know, the AT&Ts and Cisco's of the world are going to start to underwrite political activities as overtly, because they are, you know, it's generally perceived that they'll be too concerned about the backlash by consumers who might be angered over their or disagree with their political positions and activities. But to the degree that they may be assured of anonymity, they may well be willing to underwrite these organizations and front groups that are working on their legislative interests and agenda.
We saw something of that sort when Target gave a fair amount of money to a conservative candidate in Minnesota who turned out to have certain positions that that Target didn't have, and also that many shoppers at Target were outraged by, and Target has apologized. But I suspect there'll be a lot more of that. President Obama criticized the ruling of the Supreme Court in his last State of the Union address, and then talked about it further in his weekly address on August 21st. And maybe we should listen to a little bit of what he had to say.
The reason this is happening is because of a decision by the Supreme Court in the Citizens United case, a decision that now allows big corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money to influence our elections. They can buy millions of dollars worth of TV ads. And worst of all, they don't even have to reveal who is actually paying for them. You don't know if it's a foreign-controlled corporation. You don't know if it's BP. You don't know if it's a big insurance company or a Wall Street bank. A group can hide behind a phony name like Citizens for a Better Future, even if a more accurate name would be Corporations for Weaker Oversight.
It's interesting that he didn't mention unions there, because unions are also included in the decision. But what about his mention of foreign corporations? Is that something that we're likely to be seeing in this election cycle?
Well, it might be happening, but we may not be seeing it. That's the concern. We certainly saw foreign interests interested in influencing our elections back in the mid-90s. That was, you know, there is evidence of that, and why not? These many corporations which have huge revenue and interests in the United States would very much like to influence our federal policies and regulation and taxation, just like American companies. So, but to the degree that it may be government-sponsored corporations, foreign corporations, it's even more concerning and may have national security implications. So, yes, I think that is a legitimate concern. It would have been, I think, far healthier for our democratic process if the Congress had been able to pass legislation to ensure the disclosure provisions.
Sheila, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Sheila Krumholz of the Center for Responsive Politics. We've been talking about Citizens United, the ruling and its impact on our elections during the midterms.